Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You're listening to The Happy Hour with Nick Sainert.
Furby the Fourth ate his first solid food today, prompting a response of nothing but steaks all week for the Nebraska offensive line.
Then Enrique Alvarez Clary.
No more peaches and carrots for Herbie the Seventh. Baby food be damned.
Sponsored by Empire Fence and Netting on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Chris Crossover Time. Here on the Happy Hour, 93.7 The Ticket, The Ticket FM. Keep the hand up. Keep the hand up, Austin. Keep the hand up. Hit the shot. Never been shaky a day in his life. But somebody that has been shaky, damn near every day since shaky. He's been here.
Eric.
You've heard of Rico Suave. There's Rico Shaky.
Never been shaky.
Very shaky. Never. I saw him yesterday, you know, taking pictures and sitting out there in that bacon hot sun. And, of course, he looked very shaky.
Me? Shaky? Never.
Facts.
Never. Never been shaky. How you doing, Stricky?
I'm good, my boy.
How's the weekend?
Had a great weekend.
You had a great weekend?
Played a little golf.
What's better, the weekend or your golf swing?
The weekend.
I had a, it was fun. Let me just say that. It was a great time. Went out there and it was blazing hot.
You ain't lying.
Oh man, it was so hot.
What was hotter, the temperature or your putter?
No, putter was okay.
Putter was shaky?
It was okay. Shaky. Very shaky.
Stricky took my headphones.
It'd be like that sometimes. Dang. It do be like that sometimes.
Take a Stricky. Phone call.
You seen the depth chart?
Way down.
Oh, you got that headset?
Yeah, there we go.
Where we got going?
Stricky, what? Can you get me focused?
Stricky.
What are you looking at some atlas on your map?
Shiki, no. Have you seen the depth chart? That was my question.
I wanted to give a shout out and I wanted to make sure I was
getting it corrected.
Yeah, I was getting it corrected. But listen, it was a great group of guys that I played with, but it was just so hot.
Yeah, it was this weekend.
It was just so freaking hot.
I know. I played on Saturday and Sunday. It was very warm.
Yeah.
How'd you play?
I didn't hit it as good as I did when we last played, but I hit some good shots.
Good.
I threw a few of them in there, made a couple putts, so I can say I made contribution.
Good. That's all that matters.
Why are you throwing the ball in? You're supposed to hit it with the golf ball.
Great question.
Wasn't a pause.
What do you? I threw in a couple darts.
Yeah. We good.
Oh, you were playing darts?
We good.
I thought you were golfing.
He has no clue.
He doesn't understand. He's
what
shaky.
Is happening?
He's shaky.
He just don't.
He's like,
we're working the kinks out.
There's golf lingo. I don't know what's going on.
There's golf lingo.
He doesn't know, and you don't know.
Yeah.
I know Keegan Bradley put on a show.
I had a couple big putts. My short game was very, very good this weekend. I could not get off the tee, though.
That's kind of
could not get off the tee.
I couldn't hit it. I hit a couple now.
Get me within like 140, and I was just fine. Yeah. Anyway, okay, let's have the Dylan Raiola conversation, 402-464-5685, because Matt Rhule was asked about Dylan Raiola and whether or not they're going to hold him back at all. And I thought his answer was pretty notable, and it goes with to what we were getting on the text line just a few minutes ago as well. Here's Matt Rhule on Dylan Raiola.
No, I'd rather lose the first game than the last game, so we're not going to ease into it. We're going to play.
So pretty short and sweet. There was a couple of back-to-back questions of like, is that because it's Dylan Raiola or would you be that way with every single quarterback?
Specifically strategy, but mindset-wise.
Yeah, Dylan's going to play. He's going to play the plays, right? He's going to, when we call drop back, he's going to go back there, take his drop, go through his progression. Just how we want him to play when he's a junior. We're going to start day one that way. We're not easing into anything.
And then Sipple actually asked, you know, hey, is this because he's Dylan Raiola or is it because he's, just a quarterback. Would you do this with everybody else? And Matt, it was kind of funny. Do you have that quote, Rico?
Is it the longer one?
No, it's okay. Matt, he like looks over at Sip and like puts his hand over there and goes, not to be demeaning, but he's like, he's just like, not to be demeaning, but like, this is where I'm at. This is just where I'm at. And like that we're going to play, he's going to play. We're not easing him into it. This is just where I'm at. And he was kind of like short or curt with it. And I didn't take offense to it. I don't think anybody took offense to it. Nobody really had an issue with it either. But I found myself kind of walking away from that going, all right, we can't use the he's a freshman quarterback growing pains excuse. Like, we just can't. And it's okay that we don't do that this year. He is the starting quarterback in Nebraska. Matt Rhule said it specifically today that he needs to be the expectation is one of starting quarterback at Nebraska. He goes, we've talked about what comes with that. You got to focus on the highs. You got to work on the lows. And he goes, if you're worried about what people say about you or what people, how they view you or talk about you, then this isn't for you. And he was very upfront about that. And my thing is like, he needs to take his lumps. Like, and that's okay. It's a perfectly okay thing talking about the pass blocking specifically, whether that's from the offensive line or whether that's from the running backs, because it doesn't matter what position you're at. And he mentioned Phelan Sanford, and I'm not trying to go bounce around from subject to subject, but doesn't matter what position, doesn't matter about recruiting rankings, doesn't matter. They're putting dudes on the field that can help them win. Dylan Raiola is one of those, just as whoever's lined up at running back, just the same as Bryce Benhart, just the same as Turner Corcoran and Ben Scott and Jamal Banks, down the list we go. He is the same. The five-star doesn't matter anymore. Like, we're going to hear about that on Saturday. He's obviously the prized possession of this offense, all that. None of that matters anymore. He needs to play football. He needs to be viewed as a football player at Nebraska, and that's the expectation that we need to use ourselves.
The five-star doesn't matter, and the freshman doesn't matter.
No.
At this point. I'm curious to see if they actually believe it or if it's just lip service. I think Matt Rhule wants to believe it. What's the game plan? That'll show me what they actually think about this young man and his skill set.
I think also...
Well, here's the thing I will say before you say that. I would normally say what Austin just said, but because I've now had time from the time that he's arrived here in Lincoln,
mm-hmm.
throughout the time that he's gone on through a season, the ups, the downs, the troubles, the adversity, the problems, the losses, the highs, all of that, that I haven't seen him speak a whole bunch of coach speak. So, so this is what, I normally would say what you would say. I think he probably does believe it, but again, I understood the adjustments that he made last year based on what was going on. Mm-hmm. And although he wanted to play a certain way, because he was given a hand, he basically had to make those adjustments. That's where I think it won't be coach speak. It'll be just he's making the adjustments more so than.
And I think a lot of it is once the bullets start flying here, we're about to see a little bit more onto how this coaching staff, to your point, Austin, once the bullets are flying and the mistakes are made, how does the coaching staff respond? How do they talk about it, I suppose? How do they explain it? And I think, to your point, Austin, that's where we'll start to learn a little bit more about how they truly view Dylan Raiola and the future of this offense. Because, I mean, Matt Rhule basically just said it there. We want him to play on Saturday as he'll play as a junior and things like that. The expectation then should be, how would you want your starting quarterback to play as an experienced starting quarterback? Now, granted, Dylan Raiola doesn't have that at the college level, but there sure is a lot of experience in just playing the quarterback position. There's a lot of things that you can control before the game that will certainly help you out during the game, I think. And so I think it's just important, though, that we realize, there's a lot of expectation, but the same as we expect, I don't know, I'm trying to think of like a first-year starter here for Nebraska. Jamal Banks to go out and handle his business, I guess, is fine. Jamal Banks to go out and handle his business, or Jalen Lloyd, or Malachi Coleman, or the kicker, whether that's Tristan Alvano, or whether that's John Hull from Lincoln Southwest, whoever that is, whatever the case may be, that is the same as Dylan Raiola. Like, it needs to be the same expectation of, if he doesn't go out and take care of the football or handle his business, then you got to go on to the next one.
And we need a better Buscini, BB.
Yeah, I mean, Brian Buscini. Yeah,
Because we don't need shankers when we freaking need 30, 40 yarders instead.
And so, you know, and so we'll figure it out. I think it'll be fine. But I think it's important to note that this staff has basically, from what they've said these last couple of times, that we've truly been able, since Big Ten Media Days, really, about Dylan Raiola, the reins are off. They are not easing into it. He was very clear about that.
That could be some sort of another vote of confidence. Instead of just naming him the starter, which obviously is a massive vote of confidence for a true freshman, it's saying, like, look, we're not going to treat you like a true freshman. We're not going to view you as a true freshman. We're viewing you as a dude who is going to step into this role and lead us in these games. Like, we're not going to look at you and say, oh, it's okay that you threw this interception because it's your first year. Oh, it's okay that you fumbled the snap because it's your first year. No, you're stepping in here and we're expecting you to perform at a high level. And that's, again, kind of another vote of confidence for Dylan.
I don't know if it's ever been viewed as, like, okay to throw picks. I think there's just been a larger grace period, which is, I think, something that through what they're saying, it's okay if that's not the case this year.
I've been on this train for a few weeks now, and I think I pulled the 25 schedule up just to refresh myself. But the other reason I think it's important that they do go all in early, right, no easing into it, is because I think they have the sense of urgency that 24 is probably going to be easier than 25. If you look at that schedule, Cincinnati at a neutral site in Indy, Akron, and then Houston Christian. Jeez. You go to Maryland and Minnesota. You go to Penn State and UCLA. Your home games are Iowa, Michigan, Michigan State, Northwestern, USC. Mm-hmm. Not murderer's row necessarily, but tougher than this year, I would say, on the aggregate.
I realized... So, sorry, go ahead.
So I was just very quickly, I'll just say, if Nebraska wants to prove it's heading in the right direction, it arrives a year ahead of time. If you wait till next year, you might be a better team next year, but the schedule's tougher and it might not reflect. So let's get some wins. Let's bank them this year.
That part.
Get the fan base feeling like things are headed in the right direction. Right. So they're, you know, they're in a better spot mentally for next year.
Facts. I realized how, last thing before we get out of here, I realized how gettable basically their entire schedule is this year, last week. What's tricky?
No, I just had
He's fine. I realized how gettable it was because there's a possibility that you're only playing like one or two ranked teams by the end of this time, at the end of the season. And to say that in the changing landscape of college football, that is going to be incredibly rare.
Because next
incredibly
year,
rare.
Next that year, you wild. Can talk yourself into, we'll see about Maryland. We'll see about Minnesota, Iowa.
I will be Michigan. Ranked. Michigan we'll will be ranked.
Michigan State. I know you're going to say yes because of Jonathan Smith.
Yeah, I love Jonathan Smith. Penn but State. No, I mean, we'll say no. Penn State, yes.
USC.
Yes.
UCLA?
No.
That's
no.
three. That's at least three, maybe five. That's half your schedule, essentially.
It's just one of those things. Wisconsin, depending on what happens.
You don't have Wisconsin.
You don't have Wisconsin next year. Ultimately, though.
Oh, this year, I'm not buying.
Yeah, no. But like I'm saying, like for the gettable piece, mm-hmm. it's just incredibly rare because you do look like the Purdue's and they got five on their schedule this year. And there's other teams that have over half of their schedule are against preseason ranked teams or teams, programs that are on the fringe,
i.e. Florida.
UCLA is not on the fringe right now. No. Right. Like USC is a fringe team. Iowa's a fringe team. The only surefire team that's going to be 1,000% ranked by the time Nebraska plays them is Ohio State.
Unless things go terribly wrong.
I don't see it. No. I don't have a vision.
Not a chance. What's coming up on the show today, gents?
Well, we'll start with some weekend headlines. Royals Guardians doubleheader in progress. Danny Jansen making some history. CeeDee Lamb extension. All sorts of stuff to get to. Stricky and I will go through the depth chart on our own at 2:30. Cooper Flagg signed a shoe deal.
Yes.
Boo. Yeah, it's kind of an underwhelming.
We'll go over that. Yeah. We'll hear some more from Matt Rhule and then have our weekly chat with Brian Munson of Husker Online.
All right, there you have it.
Pause. How do you pull that off if you're at Duke wearing New Black Belts?
Because Duke's not going to say, hey, you can't come here because you got New Balances.
That's unbelievable.
They got championships to win.
Good enough for Shohei. It's good enough for Cooper.
There you have it.
If Kawhi can wear them, so can Cooper.
We're out of here. Make sure you stick around on the block with Strick and Austin is coming up next. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Ah, yes.